So today we gather to share the story of Lord Jesus' birth. And even though it was told 2,000 years ago, we still know it as the greatest story ever told. And because of the way that the Bible is set up, there is Luke and there is Matthew, and each one tells different parts of the story. And so sometimes we find the story a little out of order, or we hear some parts and then do not hear other parts. But the entirety of Christ's story is what God intended for us to hear and intended for us to know, and the thing that would change our lives. And so today we are going to sing some songs, and we're also just simply going to let a lot of the scriptures just simply speak for itself. Another reason that things are some people's favorites is I don't actually preach this morning. I'm going to do just a very short time, and people seem to love that, all right? If I get an amen right now, I'm going to be so upset, all right? But I want to refer to a deeply spiritual movie that maybe you've seen. It's a Christmas classic. It's a spiritual thing starring Will Ferrell called Elf. Have y'all heard of that? And the best way to spread Christmas cheer, what? Is singing loud for all to hear. That's right, exactly. So today, as we sing these songs, this is not a performance. This is a time for you to worship the Lord as we sing these Christmas songs and sing them loud for all to hear, okay? All right, so let's begin. About 700 BC, Isaiah, the Jewish prophet, uttered and then wrote down the words that are found in his book that is named after him. In Isaiah, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." And those words were spoken and written about 700 BC. And for a long time, it seemed that God had forgotten his promise. But then God shattered the silence. He began once again to speak to his people and see if they were listening once more. And they were. And we know today that we celebrate that God broke that silence in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But he sent his son to be born of a virgin, just as he had moved Isaiah to prophesy. And here's how it happened. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. And both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood. And he went into the temple of the Lord and began to burn incense. When the time for burning of incense had come, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. But then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he is never to take wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even when he is born. And he will bring many of the people of Israel back to the Lord their God. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And when his time of service was completed, Zechariah returned home. And after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said, "and in those days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." And let me just step outside of this. If you're unclear about what's happening here, this is the story told that connects the Old Testament to the New. You see, the very last chapter of the Old Testament, God's final word to Israel was that I will send a prophet before my Messiah, and he will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. We know later that Jesus said that man that fulfilled that prophecy was John the Baptist. And so as the New Testament opens about 400 years after Malachi predicted that that would happen, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist was born in this way, Luke chapter 1 being the very first thing that happens in the New Testament era. And so we come to these words in the first chapter of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And then the angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at the words that he had spoken and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord Most God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born is going to be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. For no word of the Lord will ever fail." And then Mary said some very famous words. "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby that is in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord said and that he would fulfill his promises to her." And then Mary said to her, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." While Jesus' mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to a public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived within her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. And in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that all the world should be taxed. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor in Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting her first child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said unto them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the news all around concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of Herod the king, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking the question, where is he that has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, because this is what is written in Micah the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him. And after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And then when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And then on coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their gifts and presented him with gold and with frankincense and with myrrh. Oh, come, let us adore him. This is what is often referred to as the greatest story ever told. And there's a lot of different places in this story that you can find yourself and that I can find myself. I had read one time that they had written, I think inside of a Christmas greeting card, that if our greatest need had been education, God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need had been financial, he would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need would have been technology, he would have sent us an engineer or a scientist. And if our greatest need was relational, then he would have sent us a counselor. But our greatest need instead for every one of us, no matter who we are, is to be forgiven of our sins and let the Lord be a part of our lives each and every day. That's why this is the greatest story ever told. It's not just simply about the neat elements and the cool things that happened surrounding Jesus' birth. It all comes down to that word that you heard a couple of different times as I was reading the scriptures. It is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And I heard someone say that often we want to declare that Jesus is the Lord of heaven, but we never make him Lord on earth. And I think that this is where the true story of Christmas becomes something that's neat and wonderful during December or changes your life all throughout the year. The truth is that I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is still alive, that although all of the other characters of Christmas have passed, that Jesus lives still to this day, living in heaven so that we might be forgiven of our sins. And that is why we have a Savior that came to forgive us. And so as we celebrate his birth, we realize that he was going from the cradle to the cross and eventually to the crown that he would wear in heaven. And so we give him praise and we decide if he is truly Emmanuel, God with us. Not because he's not willing to be God with us for every one of us, but that he will not elbow his way in. Just like Joseph and Mary did not say, "You don't understand. This is a really big deal. I need a room in this place." No, they got whatever was left over because there was no room for them in the inn. The saddest thing about Christmas is we make room for the Lord only for a few weeks out of the year, and then the rest of the time is all ours and all according to what we desire and what we believe and what we want. And isn't it funny how even the most hardened cynic knows that there's a time of wonder and amazement and just something different about Christmas, because finally we begin once again to celebrate him as Emmanuel. Y'all say it with me, God with us. And when we let that happen, it changes our world in a small way. Imagine if all of us allowed him to truly be God with us. And here's what I know. He did not come to judge us. He came to forgive us. He came to make us whole and bring us into fellowship and right standing with God, the one who created us. That's why this is the greatest story ever told. And my prayer for you is that this would not just simply be a ritual. This would not just simply be something that you've heard for years and years and has become something almost without meaning because we've just heard it too many times. I pray that this would have great meaning for you, so much so because you have welcomed him in and you've said, "I will make room," because you truly are the most important thing about this world and this life. And so as we celebrate Jesus' birth, we know that his birth continues to this day, but it is not so for everyone. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child, his mother, and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And so he got up, Joseph did, and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. And when he stayed there until the death of Herod, so it was fulfilled that the Lord had said that thing through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And having been warned again in a dream not to go back to Herod, the wise men returned to their country by another route. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising him that they had been told what they were told about Jesus and his birth by the angel. And the angels returned to heaven after their grand announcement. And years later, Joseph and then Mary, being human, died, as we all will and as we all do. But Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, lives on. And imagine an unlikely birth in an unlikely place, surrounded by these unlikely characters of Christmas. But it was the beginning of God's perfect plan for mankind to be forgiven of their sin and have eternal life, because now we have a Savior. So this is the first Christmas story. A crazy experience, probably different than what you might choose if you and I were choosing to write the story ourselves. There's a wonderful song that Karen is about to sing for us. It's called "Who Would Imagine a King?" And what's so wonderful about it is it captures the truth of the entire story. Just seems so unlike what we would choose. We would choose him to be royal instead of a stable-born child. We would choose him well-off parents that are rich and famous and things like that, but that's not what God chose. He instead chose a Christ that could be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and yet still identify with every one of us. And so it is a beautiful song. Karen, please.
Mommies and daddies always believe that their little angels are special indeed. And you could grow up to be anything, but who shepherd or teacher is what you could be, or maybe a fisherman out on the sea, or maybe a carpenter building things. But who would imagine a king?
It was between me and Karen singing that. I think we may have made the right choice. Why are y'all laughing? So now we come to the time where we're going to be making this interactive. We're going to ask one person from each household to come and grab one of these candles. And if you'd like to have one that's a little safer and a little less waxy, we have some candles here for your children if they'd like. First come, first serve. All right, we got about 24 of those, and there's 12 here and 12 there. And so what we will do is, as we sing Silent Night and as you guys sing Silent Night, I'm going to just simply ask each group to come and kind of come, find a candle, and then come and light off of the Christ Child's candle, symbolically accepting and welcoming him into your home. And so I hope that will be something that is meaningful. And we'll do two different groups at once and make sure that we're coming from different sides so we can have an opportunity for everyone to light a candle. So, if you don't mind, we're going to begin with this group here and this group over here. So one representative from each household. Come on up. So where the story began is somewhat where the story ends. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. I don't know what your life looks like on the inside. I know that on the outside, y'all are beautiful people. We have such a beautiful and wonderful congregation and church family. It touches my heart. I love you guys. Every one of y'all are just wonderful people. But I know that you are people. And because you're people, that means you go through difficult times. that sometimes you have darkness in your life. Sometimes you're walking through valleys and difficult things. Here's what I know. He came to be a light in a dark world, but he came to be a light in a dark heart as well. And so if you are passing through some dark times, I hope that you will realize that Jesus is the light of the world, not just in the past and not just because we're doing a candlelight service. He can lighten your life and change it, change the entire course of it. But basically, you have to make that choice and decision. Just like you came, you got the light from us here. You made the choice, and you will make the choice again if he is welcome in your heart. But if he is welcome in your heart, it doesn't mean that everything is perfect and everything is wonderful all the time, but there is joy that stays and remains. And so even when you pass through the dark times, you can still experience joy. And I hope and pray that you guys have a very Merry Christmas, that each and every one of you has joy, and that you can share the light, and that it'll be something that brings wonder and peace to your heart this time of year. And then I would just simply say one more thing. If you notice there, Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. I just encourage you to slow down just a little bit. The pace of Christmas is crazy. But if you can, just slow down a little bit and take in the joy, the peace, and the wonder of God with us. And he will meet you where you are, no matter who you are. Amen. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the light of the world. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for being Emmanuel, who comes to lead and guide and direct our lives. You have said that people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Lord, thank you for bringing light into all of our lives at one time or another. When we desperately needed a change, you were that change. When we desperately needed forgiveness and a Savior, you were just that for us because we couldn't save ourselves. So, Lord, thank you. We worship you and we celebrate you coming into this world to live and die and then rise again so that we might have joy forever. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody together said. But guys, thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure, and it's been an opportunity for me to just say to all of you, Merry Christmas. God bless you guys. I hope that all of you have a wonderful time with your family and with everyone that's going to make this a really special time for you. God bless you.